Howdy, everybody. Bob Tallman here. Kendra Santos has been the most trusted storyteller and truth teller now for generations of cowboys and cowgirls. Tommy Joe Lucia has worked and learned the rodeo business from every angle for the last 51 years. Listen to me, people. Santos and Lucia come at their life's work from the different angles of the rodeo business, which makes for lively discussion and debate. Their voices in rodeo are respected. This is no spin rodeo. No politics, no BS. Listen up. Here we go.
Welcome to episode 6 of No Spin Rodeo. I'm Tommy Joe Lucia, and I'm joined with the greatest team ever. We've got the Piranha Productions, we call them the Show Tech Wizard, Greg Teagarden, and the First Lady of Pro Rodeo Journalism, Kendra Santos. Hello, Team No Spinners. How are y'all today?
I'm great today. Looking forward to another great episode.
Good morning, both of you. Yes, I feel like every week in professional rodeo, I mean, we just have to try to narrow down how many things are going on. And I mean, the highlights reel of professional rodeo never ends, right? So lucky us to get to talk about it.
Well, I like that I called you the First Lady of Pro Rodeo Journalism. And those of you that can't see the video, you've got on like a First Lady type jacket. Like, that's very British, right? I mean, I got a lot of fashion in me, but that's, tell us about your jacket. Is that, I mean, that you look like you would walk off of Air Force One in that thing.
Okay, well, let's see. I'm a cowboy California girl cross. My mom is like Jackie Onassis fashion type. Linen and wool is what we wear when we're not out from my dad's part of the family tree, you know, shoveling shit or branding calves. So today is a fall morning. It's beautiful, but it's time for wool jackets.
I know. I'm ready for cold weather. The Lucias are kind of a cross between fashion and, if you've heard the song, one of my favorite songs, Thrift Store. That's one of my favorite, right? If you haven't heard it, and you probably have, but Thrift Store, you could think of Tommy Joe Lucia, because Chase and I will wear kind of whatever is on top in the drawer, and Nick and Donna will always be dressed according to the moment, like you, Kendra. So I'm glad everybody's doing good. And we always kind of start the top of the show, kicking it over to Kendra with catching us up on some rodeo news. So listen up. What you got, Kendra?
Well, as always, this week's rodeo news is all over the map. And also, as always, for me, it's about our rodeo family. The first person I would mention today is Haley Proctor. Haley is a Roman riding, trick riding badass, and she's the wife of world champion bull rider Shane Proctor. And she took a bad tumble, jumping a couple horses over a jump during the last performance of a packed season last week, and broke her leg, and she broke it badly. And if anybody has seen video or pictures, it's scary. And, you know, while we're all really thankful that it wasn't worse, Dr. Tandy Freeman just performed a pretty major surgery using plates and screws and wires to fix the broken bones and ligament damage. Anyway, we wish Haley and the Proctors all the best. And she's very tough, and she's amazing, and she will be back good as new. I have no doubt about that, but we wish her well, and Shane and their little spark plugs coolly as they get their cows worked in Oklahoma. So all the best to the Proctors. The next member of our rodeo family I wanted to talk about today is Walt Garrison, the world famous Dallas Cowboys number 32, who also was right at home in the rodeo arena wrestling and roping steers. Most people in our rodeo family know that Walt died earlier this month. On November 13th at the Cowtown Coliseum in Fort Worth, Walt's family and friends are going to give Walt the send-off he deserves, and everyone, the public, is welcome, which I think is very cool. Very reminds me of the Larry Mahan send-off, which was also fitting for such a person of our rodeo family. I'd also mention here how much I appreciate Walt's family talking about the fact that Walt suffered from Alzheimer's, dementia, and CTE, which is chronic traumatic encephalopathy. What that means in language we all understand is too many head injuries on the football field for Walt. And this is a conversation that I think that we all need to have. And after losses in our rodeo family of people like Ty Pozzebon, who's suffered similarly, my understanding, I know this topic is of special interest to my bull rider friends. And I think that these are the things that we need to really talk about openly as a rodeo family. I have a bull rider retirement that's unexpected and untimely that I would mention. And that is Cole Fisher. Cole made his first NFR last year, then suffered a serious injury. It actually happened right after the NFR in New York, the end of December last year. And he got jerked down and knocked out, and his neck was stepped on. The wreck paralyzed his right arm, which is his riding arm. And he had surgery and more physical therapy than anyone can imagine, but it's over as far as being a bull rider. And that's tough stuff for any cowboy, especially one who had just reached his, you know, his prime and his peak. And Cole Fisher, who just coming off of his first NFR, you know, big prayers for Cole. He's 31 years old, but he was just really getting rolling and had found his stride. And prayers for him and his family as he steps into his new and next chapter of his life. So on a brighter note, everyone who knows me knows that I'm all about more money for cowboys. And I have some exciting new numbers on the National Finals Steer Roping and National Finals Rodeo payoffs to report. The 2023 National Finals Steer Roping, which is a $500,000 event, is coming up November 17th and 18th in Kansas. And this year, the rounds will pay $10,160, and first in the average is worth $30,349, which is cool and continued progress. And this year's NFR, which will run December 7th through the 16th in Las Vegas, will pay out a record 11.5 million. Rounds will pay $30,706, which is up from $28,914 last year. And first in the average will this year pay $78,747, which is up from $74,150 in 2022. And as we all know, never underestimate the blood, sweat, tears, and sacrifice it takes to make the finals. As always, our best cowboys and cowgirls deserve a race. And I'll leave it there on a positive note of progress on rodeo news today.
Good. I'm glad that I did read that the prize money was up. Only a couple comments on rodeo news with Walt Garrison. Walt and my dad, Tommy Lucia, were really good friends. And the one memory that kind of comes back from Walt is we were down in the clown room at Will Rogers, which is where I lived when Dad was clowning that rodeo. And the Cowboys were with Tom Landry. I don't know whether they were in the Super Bowl or what, because I don't know how old I was. I was probably 7 or 8. And Walt brought in a Dallas Cowboys helmet for Dad to wear in the barrel. And he walks in with this Dallas Cowboys helmet and he hands it to Dad, and Dad almost drops it. And this huge conversation breaks out about how heavy that helmet was. Now, you can imagine this is 40 years ago. I don't even know how long. Yeah, 40, 45 years ago. I bet that those helmets probably were a little, they went from leather probably to reinforced quarter inch angle iron in them, probably in the industrial face. But I could not lift that helmet. And I remember the big conversation was Dad trying to get that on and get into his barrel. And I just remember his head bobbling around like a bobblehead. And Walt would give Dad snuff and would smack me. There was two people that I remember would kind of smack me on the back to say hello with vengeance. And one was Walt Garrison And the other one was Wick Peth, who somewhere down the line, we'll talk about Wick Peth, the bullfighter. These guys were just, and George Doak. So those three people. But anyway, I remember his strength, his courage, big, strong man, looked up to him, thought he was really cool. And the only other couple things that I have in news to kind of point out is that the PRCA convention, they've released the schedule on it for those PRCA members that are coming to the convention on the 4th through the 7th. Piranha's happy to be producing the back number and reception. If you don't have your tickets, that's on the 5th. That's a cool event. That's a really cool event. If you haven't been, it's worth going. It's super cool. And then there's the awards banquet, the awards presentations for the PRCA awards on the 5th that evening. Both of those upstairs, up the escalators at South Point in the evening. Those are cool events. And the only other thing that I thought I would mention, if you want to get into the NFR and you're not up for being a part of the scalping process, last year they started this new thing called Access Pass, which is kind of cool. Basically, it's a standing room only ticket. And I don't know the specifics of how you get those, but I know that there's a lot of those available. And so if you get there and you want to go, just remember there's such a thing called an Access Pass, which is like a standing room only. You don't get a seat, which I imagine means you go sit in people's seats all night long, or you stand up at the bar or whatever. But anyway, Access Pass is pretty cool. And so that's our take on rodeo news. Thank you, Kendra.
Can I put you on the spot without warning and just throw just a monkey wrench at you?
Okay, mark it, Greg, in case you have to edit this. Go ahead.
Is there any way, if you're producing the back number ceremony, which is the coolest thing for rodeo wives and moms, is there any way that you have the stroke to make one section of the front row to rotate event by event? You're going to probably say no, but I'm going to ask it anyway. To where rodeo moms that are packing babies, people like Alexis Kimsey and Tiffany Cooper, is there any way that you could usher in, have the front row reserved for those people to see their men step on stage without fighting the crowd? Like, I love that it's a mob scene and there's a crowd and everybody's going crazy and most people are drunk and it's like so happy. That's the coolest night. But like, is there any way that, you know, okay, right before the bareback riding, if they come in on the right and they take this front row seats and then when the bareback rider's done, they get up and they walk out off to the left and then the steer wrestling wives, it's you're going to say it's too big of a commotion, but I'm just going to throw that curveball at you just for the heck of it.
Well, I think it's a very good idea. When we took over the back number ceremony, we installed a bunch of things like a runway, right? A little elevated runway. Because if you used to, they used to walk out from the room from wherever, and now they come in groups on a stage across the runway. And we really did that. I did that so that everybody in the room could actually see them walking up. And so I like that idea. I will bring it to the powers that be. Maybe we could take one side of the runway and bike rack it off and make it to where, you know, only so many family members get in that spot. They would be right on the runway, right? Seeing them walk right by, could high five them. I don't know that it can happen, but I give you my word. I'll bring it up. I think it's
a great
idea.
Well, thanks. I just think it's cool. And, you know, even if it was one family member, you know, 15 people, if they, I promise you that they would be polite and appreciative. But anyway, and that just brings back memories of all the years that I was one of the people in the back tunnels leading up to the back of the stage at the back number night. And how many times I have turned a cheek for a cowboy to pee in a beer bottle back there, I won't even mention, but it's all good. And that's a great, glorious night for our sport.
And the folks at South Point appreciate the fact, especially those people that have to clean up those beer bottles. Okay. Now that we got that in our head, let's move on. The one thing that we do want to say is in the next podcast, we've got some really exciting news for No Spin Rodeo as it relates to Las Vegas. So make sure you pay attention to our next episode 7. We'll give you some more information on that. And we're going to quickly jump today into our talking point with both of our point of views on this particular issue. And we try to keep these timely, right? So that it kind of makes sense. We're talking about something that's in the moment. And I'm going to steal Donnie Gay's words, because I talked to Donnie about this a little bit. And this is these people that just didn't make the NFR, 16 to 20. And Donnie Gay calls it the crying hole. Now you can hear Donnie saying it. Oh yeah, the crying hole. Yeah, the crying hole. Those ones that, you know, 16 and 20 that are not going to work all year long and are not going to get to be a part of that legendary Yellow Shoots in Las Vegas. Kendra, you want to start that one out?
Sure. There's nothing sweet about this Sweet 16. Crying hole, you bet, also known as the heartbreak hole. It's not a fun spot. And after working all their lives to put themselves in position to qualify for the Super Bowl of Rodeo and going all in on the grind of the all-night drives, expensive fuel, drawing one they can't win on, and all the rest of it for an entire year, these are the people who barely missed the boat and were one out. So, you know, they're exhausted. Their wallets and their credit cards are screaming at them, and they don't have a shot at the big money that awaits the top 15. So these are very, very talented people. And in most cases, one small thing, be it a missed flight, maybe they had a mud run when every other perf was sunny, whatever. That might have been the difference for these people. So I would love to name these people because they deserve to have their names called. And in the bareback riding of all people is Casey Field. Steer wrestling, Tristan Martin. Team roping header, Brenton Hall. Team roping healer, Dylan Graham. Saddle bronc riding, Isaac Diaz. Tight end roping, Luke Potter. Barrel racing, Sarah Winkleman. Steer roping, Clay Long. Breakaway roping, Samantha Fulton. And bull riding, Justin Woodward. And I've heard people say over the years that 16th is the worst possible place to end up ever because you were that close. And to that, I would pull out my bright side girl hat and say that, you know, on the bright side, you won more money than the 17th place guy and the thousands of others who tried and took their shot this year. Finishing 16th, you know, I've been around a long time and I have a big heart for these people and their families. I've been on both sides of this fence. And before I get back to Casey Field, I'm going to turn it over to you, Tommy Joe. And what do you have to say on this subject?
Well, like I said, initially when we talked about this, I thought, you know, it'd be nice to call someone and get one of these kind of legends take on it when they didn't make the finals. So I decided to call 8X. Donnie Gay, very good friend of mine, known him since I was a baby at Mesquite. And of course, in typical 8X fashion, I said to Donnie, I called him on the phone and he said, I said, you know, what does it feel like? He said, well, I never had that, which is typical Donnie, right? I made the NFR every time I wanted to make the NFR unless I got hurt, which is typical Donnie and the truth. But in the conversations, one of the things that I'll quote Donnie that I thought was interesting that we could talk a little bit about, he said, you know, the guys from 16 to 20 know that they had many opportunities in the course of the season to probably change that outcome. It might have been if they would have rode this one or rode that one, or like you said, made a flight, or if the judges didn't screw them here or there. And, you know, he said the key is, which I agree with, is does that light a fire that makes them say, I'm going to be at the next 10 NFRs, or in my opinion, Donnie didn't say this, or does it break an egg in them and make them say, you know, what am I going to do? It's interesting because rodeo as a sport, I talk about the athletes, it's closest to golf to me in that it seems to me that the Houston Astros, Go Rangers, they lose, they don't go to the World Series. They kind of share that pain, I would think, in the locker room. You know, there's a big group of them. They're kind of sharing the loss. Our sport is so individual. There's all these things that impact that individual's performance, but it's still very individual, almost like a golfer. You know, you, when you look back at it, I would think, and I've never been in this position, but I would think when you look back at it, you're probably the hardest on yourself, right, for not being 15th. And that's the mental, and that's the exercise that's so demanding in our sport, is the mental side, besides all of these other things, animals, ground, flights, you know, there's all these uncontrollable things, and you've got that. So I'm really glad that you listed the 16. The only other thing that I thought was interesting on this, I've got a couple more things, but the difference between 15 and 16, remember everybody, it's about money earned. That's how you get to the NFR. And you know, I looked at the numbers. The three closest were the bareback riding with $1,660, the header with $1,100, but the one that blew me away was breakaway. The difference between 16 and 15 was $72.15. That's three Starbucks orders to get there and be a game changer for that breakaway roper. What a fierce competition. And I thought that was interesting. And I would be amiss if I didn't, last thing, Kendra, call out a couple other missings from the NFR besides the Cowboys. First one, which I thought was interesting, Bryce Redu was a bullfighter, first time last year to the NFR. He's not back this year. It's interesting to me because it does kind of seem like once you become a bullfighter at the NFR, you're there for a while. That's what it's kind of historically looked like. You know, I guess the question is, I think Bryce is healthy and stuff. Did he piss someone off? Is he healthy? I don't really know. There's a lot of good young bullfighters, a bunch of them very, very talented. And I'm not taking away anything from the guys that made the NFR. They're fantastic bullfighters. No doubt politics plays in this. Sometimes it looks like a club, but we won't see Bryce. He did get to go and fight bulls there last year, and maybe we'll see Bryce in the future. And the second one that just keeps swirling around in my head is when I heard that, and one of our no spinners sent us a comment on this, so thank you for sending that, but that the Harry Vold Rodeo Company doesn't have any stock selected for this year's NFR. This was just, for me, it was hard to wrap my head around. And so, Kendra, I decided to reach out to Kirsten Vold. And I really fought with even reaching out, right? Because, you know, on that, I reached out to Kirsten. And let me tell you, the Vold family has always been super, super classy. And Kirsten flies that banner well. And, you know, what she said to me, because I basically said, you know, what would the Big H think of this, right? And she goes, well, actually, he's the one that taught me how to handle things like this. You handle things like this with dignity. And she said his rodeo company, their rodeo company, has been at the last 64 NFRs. Can you even wrap your head around that? That's from the very beginning. And she says, it shouldn't matter. She said, if none of my animals are good enough to be there, then they shouldn't be there. We'll just pick up and work harder next year. That's all I'm going to say on that. I'm going to leave it because for me, that's super, super class and super cool. I've got my own opinions that should the best HV one not be where the 10th of someone else's is, all that can be discussed. But hats off to Kirsten, the Vold company. We're going to miss them there. I thought that was about as classy as it could get. So those are the two things that I had on this, Kendra. Because this NFR is so important to the careers of everybody, livestock contractors, contract personnel, and the athletes, everybody in this business, it's tough when they're not there and don't have that opportunity to earn money and shine. So that's really all I've got. I'm going to kick it back to you on this.
Okay, well, before we leave the Volds, I mean, Harry was the greatest, the Duke, you know, and I will always treasure, for decades, I sat next to Harry during Sean Davis's pre-perf and post-perf productions at the NFR, and some of the conversations that we had before and after those meetings, priceless. Anyway, back to our point of view today. For obvious reasons, the 16th place finisher of 2023 that really caught my eye was Casey Field. And this is the guy with a record 6 gold buckles and career earnings approaching $3.5 million. This is our bareback riding goat, the baddest cat there's ever been. And I just talked to Casey, and I want to let him tell y'all what happened.
Talk us through the reason your standalone earnings were backed out of the world standings. I'm presuming it was because of the same 40 rodeo rule that made Sage Kimsey have to show up and turn out a bunch of bulls at the regular season's end to get his minimum rodeo count for his ex-bulls money to count. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And that it breaks my heart too for Sage. It hurts me too. Don't get me wrong. And I'm upset, disappointed, but at the same time, Sage, he's a remarkable young man and champion. And he went and put his hand in a rope and put his foot over the bull and nodded. And to me, I've spoken to him a little bit about, you know, what we hold our standards to. And for me to go and stand on the back of the buck and shoots and call for a bull, I'd feel bad for my family, my friends, my fans that come to watch me and expect excellency.
Yeah.
And you know, that's what we work on. And that's, I push myself hard physically and mentally before I ever get to the rodeo. And the money not counting, I knew the rule prior to the season. My goal was to take my family rodeoing and show them the places I've been and introduce them to my friends that I've made around the country and at some of my favorite rodeos. And I did that, and that was the ultimate goal. And in the back of my head, I figured that I had won enough money come August that I was going to be safe, even without the money counting from the rigging rallies.
Gotcha.
And my calculations were off. I hate to admit that, but I went to 23 or 24 rodeos and had an amazing season. If they would have counted the money from the American, which is one of the most ridiculous things that I've heard, is that they couldn't come to an agreement on TV for the athletes to benefit from such a great event. And the rig and rally money not counting either took me out of it. But, you know, I learned a lot about who I am and what I was about over the season, and staying strong to how I wanted to start the season and how I seen my season going. And right now, I've never been so content in my life and happy where I'm at. I'm disappointed. December's going to be a lot different for me. But at the same time, being home with my family and having faith that God has a plan for me that's better than mine is something I've come to realize.
Well, I mean, good for you. And by the way, 23 or 24 rodeos to end up 16th. I mean, that's like Cody Ohl stuff, where you don't have a dollar one going into Reno. And you go to, I think his, I don't know if his record was like 30 or something, but this is crazy stuff. So, okay.
Well, I went to I think it was in 2013 or 14, I went to 20 rodeos and won the world.
Wow.
And then again last year, I think I went to like 30, 31.
Wow.
No, I would have had to. No, I went to 30 or 31 because I didn't go to any of the standalone events.
Okay, so you finished only 1,600 behind 15th. And it was there, like, at what point, how late in the season was it before you realized that you just were just barely not going to make it, even doing it on your own terms?
In the last week of August probably is kind of when it was like, oh, crap. I got to start entering, or I got to start going, or things have got to change. But things at home have changed a lot from before, from when I wrote my goals down, for the better. And, you know, the drive, the dedication that it was going to take to go and solidify and be sure that I was going to make the NFR, I wasn't in a position to do that. Not only I wasn't mentally, I'm on record, I don't care, but I am retiring. My plan was to retire at the NFR, but you know, this, my plan has never changed at all. And so the things that I have going on at home with family and business started to outweigh rodeo. There's a lot of things over the years that frustrate me with the sport. I don't feel like that I could hold myself to a professional standard in any other sort of business because of rodeo, because of the scheduling. There was a few times that I drew a horse that, you know, he's been at two high school rodeos, and then I drew him at a tour rodeo. There's just been a handful of things that I know have been addressed. There's been several rules written that have never even gone in front of the board to be voted on. And this just is, you know, just kind of puts a stamp on my decision that my retirement at this time is right. And it's,
this is big.
I feel really good.
Okay. I'm very happy for you, and I'm very happy for your family. So I have to ask you how long it's been since you missed the finals.
I didn't go to the NFR in 2016.
Okay. And why that year?
I had faith in a bigger opportunity at that time.
Okay.
And I pursued, like I did this year, I pursued what I thought what that would be the best in the long term.
I just caught you. I get you. I understand what you're talking about. Okay. Got you. But you've always been about doing what you think is right, and you've always been about greater good, and you've always known that God's got this, and you've always lived it as your dad did before you.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, it's true.
My dad was my hero and an amazing man, and you know that. And just his last words were just do what's right. And so the more that I do that and try to my best to do what's right, and sometimes I'm not right all the time. But when I'm not, I learn from it and I try to get better. But the timing of everything that in 2016, my goals and my ambition and what I thought was right for me, my family, my future, you know, not that it was wrong, but things in, you know, the stars had to be aligned and they didn't, and things didn't work out that year for me. But again, that was the year I lost my dad. And that was the year that the ERA happened and I was a part of, and there was so much that came from that made me who I am today. It sucked and it was hard times, but you know, making my decision about taking my family with me rodeoing and rodeoing the way I did, that thought and that decision came from the experience that I've had from going up and down the road. And a big part of it was in 2016, missing some things and realizing what's most important.
Well, the journey.
It's an amazing journey.
It's an amazing journey. And so before I let you go, I if it was a joke, I would say we missed the punchline. In my line of work, we would say, okay, we buried the lead. Are you telling me that you're done? You're never going to put your hand in a bareback rigging again? Are you?
Yeah.
Really?
That's right. Yeah.
Wow. Nothing like going out on top.
Yeah. You know, though, Kendra, it's not. I'm going to remember, you know, the year I had Virgil at American, the year that I had the big junior Bonner in the 10th round at the NFR during COVID. It's not going to be, oh, I missed the NFR by $1,000. I will never dwell on that. I have my memories and the things that are instilled in my brain are much more than just being petty about a 16th position.
Thanks for being you. Thank you for being your father's son and your mother's too.
Well, thank you very much. That's right. A huge compliment.
See you, Casey. See you. All right, bye.